Please be seated. When a parable becomes a cliche, can it still function in the life of the community? A good Samaritan is commonly recognized as anyone who comes to the aid of another. But is this really what Jesus is getting at? Is he only offering a variation on be helpful when you come across people in trouble? Was he just giving us a parable to make us feel guilty when we ignore those in need? I do not want to exclude offering help to those depending on the kindness of others, but this parable goes far beyond that. It not only lays down a big challenge, but makes an even bigger offering of gospel, of good news. This is a story for people who recognize that they are on a journey. Not just a journey from womb to tomb, but from birth to rebirth, from partial life to abundant life. The gospel proclaims what God pours into the hearts of all those who journey in a dangerous world. A couple of weeks ago, you may recall, we heard that Jesus turned toward Jerusalem. He set his face to go to Jerusalem, the scripture tells us. Jesus is on the way to his death, and this day he meets a lawyer who wants to know how to move toward life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, some hear hostility in his words, but others say this testing is part of rabbinic dialogue. Perhaps he speaks for all of us who want to attain eternal life, a deeper intimacy with God. Jesus responds, "What does the law say?" And the man fittingly quotes the Torah. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus commends him. "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." Then the lawyer comes back with the question that brings about today's parable. "And who is my neighbor?" So we get a story of another journey. A man is going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, from David's city of peace, perched high on a hill 20 miles through the wilderness to Jericho, located at the edge of the Dead Sea. It is a dangerous road, not one to travel alone. And he is attacked by robbers, stripped of everything, brutally beaten, and left to die. And first the priest passes by, and then a Levite, and both see him, and both cross the road to the other side to avoid him. And Jesus' listeners understand why. The man appears dead, and if either the priest or the Levite were to touch someone dead, they would make themselves ritually unclean. Those men know the law, just like the lawyer questioning Jesus. It calls them to maintain purity for worship. Besides, this could be a trap. So they go to the other side of the road, picking up their pace. And now along comes a Samaritan. The Jews held Samaritans in contempt, seeing them as unfaithful to the law of Moses and to the temple worship in Jerusalem. The contempt was also mutual. Luke records an occasion where Jesus himself experiences it. Remember, we heard it just a few weeks ago when a Samaritan town refused to receive him on the way to Jerusalem. And on that day, James and John wanted Jesus to call down fire from heaven. But Jesus rebuked them. In Jesus' parable, the Samaritan does not pass by. He draws close, moved by compassion, moved by the Spirit of God poured into his heart to cross over to where the man lies. And seeing that the man is alive, he pours oil to cleanse the wound and wine to dull the pain. He picks him up, takes him to an inn, and promises to return to resolve whatever money is owed. The Samaritan has already received eternal life. He is living it then and there. So I think the question is, how might we live eternal life here and now? Excuse me. A couple years ago, I read about a 12-year-old Palestinian boy, Ahmad Akiba, who'd been shot and killed by Israeli soldiers during street fightings near his house in Jenin on the West Bank. The boy had been holding a toy gun, and he was taken to an Israeli hospital where he died a few days later, and his parents made the decision to allow his organs to be harvested for transplant to Israelis, the very same people who had shot their son. 6 people received his heart, lungs, and kidneys, including a 2-month-old infant. His mother, Abla, said, "My son has died. Maybe he can give life to others." These parents made their own journey into the compassion of God and were living eternal life. If you were to check several Bible translations of the lawyer's response to Jesus at the beginning, you would see that some put a comma before "and your neighbor as yourself," while others place a semicolon there. A small difference, it would seem, but perhaps not. In Margaret Edson's magnificent play, Wit, there is a conversation about the use of punctuation in John Donne's Holy Sonnet 6. Evelyn, a teacher, rebukes Vivian, a student, for using an addition marked by hysterical punctuation in the final 2 lines, especially the use of a semicolon where a simple comma would do. Evelyn, with great dramatic flair and intensity, recites the last 2 lines, noting aloud its punctuation. "And death, capital D, shall be no more, semicolon. Death, capital D, comma, thou shalt die, exclamation point." She then urges another version. "And death shall be no more, comma, death, thou shalt die." The simple comma, she suggests, conveys that nothing but a breath, a comma, separates life from life everlasting. A simple comma suffices. I think the same might apply here. A simple comma would do. To love God is to love neighbor, is to love God. The ongoing flow of love allows eternal life to begin even now, as the parable confirms. Living a loving life is not defined by helping someone once. Instead, it is a life in which a person's character is formed by the basic premise that they love God, love their neighbor, and love themselves. To put it another way, Mahatma Gandhi was quoted once as saying, "Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. Your values become your destiny." The parable of the Good Samaritan is a story for travelers on the road, a scriptural GPS, if you will, routing us in the only direction God desires, the way of love and compassion for others. This is more than a parable about a helpful stranger. It is about the transforming power of God at work and those who travel the dangerous roads in our world, moving us into the fullness of life, eternal life, here and now. And we are called to go and do likewise.